You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for just the awesome understanding we're having on the whole of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we continue throughout this year, just talking about the mission of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, again and again and again, I'm just so thankful that you have given us the Holy Spirit, a helper to work in our lives, to strengthen us, to equip us. But more than that, Father, that we might be able to do the work that you've called us to do. And so we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to finish off the what I would call the introduction into the mission of the Holy Spirit. And I've done this just so that we have an understanding of how powerful the Holy Spirit is within our lives. 2 weeks ago, we talked about what Jesus did when he was departing. And I'm going to just continually go through this so that you can get it into your head as we understand where we go tonight. When Jesus was departing, he told his disciples, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. What I say to you is good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I do go away. Because if I do not go away, the comfort of the counselor, the help of the advocate, the intercessor, the strength, the standby will not come to you. That is, in close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." We know that Jesus said that because he knew that there was no way that we were ever going to be able to achieve that great commission, ever be able to stand up against the enemy and the onslaughts of the enemy that we heard about this morning, if we did not have the power of the Holy Spirit resident within us. And so the next question I posed was, how and when do we get this help? And I showed you from Scripture that I believe that this happens. This help comes to us, is available to us immediately we accept our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Romans 8:9 says, "If anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, is truly not a child of God." And in a minute I'm going to show you why I believe that. But let's just understand that the minute that we accept Jesus into our lives, the minute we do that, it's as if putting a power cord into the power source, and that power is there available to us. Now, of course, as you saw last week, we can have all those power tools on the table, but if we don't use them or don't turn them on, then they're just sitting there dormant. And unfortunately, that's the case for many of us. We just sit there with these power tools made available to us through the Holy Spirit being resident within us, but we don't exercise faith to use them. We start and continue to try and do it in the flesh. When we plug in, that's when it happens. Everything that Jesus promised becomes ours right there, ready to use. By faith, we start moving in that power. And so these are the things that happen to us or that become available to us the minute that we get saved. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, leadership, mercy, messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and that's for the body, but we also have the power of tongues in our own lives. The grace of the Holy Spirit, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, the power to witness, the ability to exalt and glorify Christ, a taste of the power of the world to come, help with our prayer life, we'll talk about that tonight, a new and greater understanding of the Word of God, daily guidance, life to our mortal bodies, or a quickening to our mortal bodies, God's love into our hearts, and an increase in our faith. So when you look at that list, when you think of that list, when you start to contemplate that list, you know, in real terms, depending on what city you've come from, you've probably heard many messages about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I believe all of those are true scriptural terms, but I believe they happen at the minute we get saved. They are there for us. And if you really take that whole list that I read, rip out all the things that you think happen at a second experience, and you won't find that many. And the only reason you probably think that they happen at a second experience is because you've been told that. But if you'd been told differently, you would see it differently. And so last week we then We looked at going past the point of blessing into the realm of the power. And I used that scripture. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? I believe that the point of blessing is our salvation. Unfortunately, many of us as Christians stop at that point of blessing. We've made it. We've become Christians. We're going to heaven. We've got eternal life. Yeah, all of that is true. But we weren't saved just for that purpose. That is a free gift, the Bible says, that is ours. We were saved that we might do the works that God has called us to do. We were saved that we might do that great commission. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The minute we get saved, we receive power. Power to be able to witness, to tell people about Jesus. One of the most exciting, most powerful things is when you see somebody brand new, born again, going out and sharing what God just did in their lives. The power that is there, the incredible confidence, faith that is there, because the Spirit has come upon them. And then we slowly water it down. We slowly wind it back to the point that we stay at that point of blessing. I guarantee you that there's many in this room right now, many Christians who have been Christians for a long time. If you look back, I'll guarantee you that you'll have turned the tap off or wound it back or become comfortable, started to not do the things that you used to do. Revelation says that we've left our first love. And I think that's a very true thing. And so we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about moving in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the mission of the Holy Spirit. Why? That we might see the works that God has called us to do being outworked in our lives. And hopefully as we work our way through the whole of the year with the notes that Dale's written, that we will see as we unpack these things that we've been talking about, all of these things that I've told you come into our lives, that you'll start to have an understanding, a teaching in your life, that you will start to access and use the gifts that God has given you. God meant us to use His power. He meant us to turn on that tool. The tool that we have, or the tool that we need for the job that we've got to do. You might be in a meeting. It might be a tough meeting. You have the power of God within you to give you a word of knowledge, to give you a word of wisdom. It might not be a witnessing word. It might be just a word that you need in season. Now, you might be in a situation where you have to pray for somebody. Power is there for you to pray for somebody. You might need extra faith. You might need patience. You might need long-suffering. Whatever the case is, it's all there. All we have to do is start to use it. Every job, every problem has a tool, right down to a jackhammer if we want, to break open the hardest bit of rock. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too big. Mark 16 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. That's pretty big. They'll speak in new tongues. That's fantastic. We'll talk about that. They will pick up snakes in their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll place their hands on the sick and they will get well. You know, we concentrate a lot on praying for sick people. Maybe we should pray for some dead people. Maybe we should pray for lots of other things. Maybe we should start to see the faith grow in us. So this week, I want to talk about one of the power tools, and I call it a power tool because that's how I see it, that the Holy Spirit brings to us, which I think has probably been the most rejected tool, which probably could have the most impact in our lives. Why? Because I think that what I'm going to talk about tonight is probably the one that empowers us more than anything we can have or do in regard to the Holy Spirit. Every other one is an outward act, is an outward thing, impacting others. Talking about the tool that I'm going to talk about tonight is one that builds us up, impacts us personally, strengthens us, equips us. It's called talking in tongues. Now, we heard a minute ago about speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's the tongue for the body. Same Holy Spirit, different application. I'm talking about our individual spiritual tongue. Speaking in tongues, our prayer life, our communication tool with God. God has given the Holy Spirit this gift to us that we might be able to communicate directly to Him. Not through our understanding, not through our being, but our spirit to His spirit like a direct cable link. You know, if only the government thought about this before they started putting that cable right through the world, hey. You know, it would be working right now, and it'd be acting right now, and it'd be doing the work that should be done right now. We have a communication tool with God that is an amazing thing. Now, I know that talking about prayer is like talking about money. Nobody likes to talk about money. Nobody likes to talk about prayer. Why? Because we already know what we should be doing. The unfortunate part when you talk about prayer is that you feel like you're a defeatist before you even start. Because no one, not even me, matches up to the requirements that God has if you think about it in one way. I think we can match up to the requirements that God has. In 1 Chronicles 16:11 it says, seek his face always. In Luke 18, Jesus told his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 it says, pray without ceasing. How do we do that? How do we pray without ceasing? How do we never give up in prayer? How do we seek his face always? Well, obviously it's got to be a heart attitude. Now, we look at other faiths and they have their works program. You know, the Muslims, they pray 5 times a day at a certain time. And it's a religious exercise. They stop wherever they are, and if they're really radical, they will lay out their carpet or whatever. They'll face Mecca and they will pray right there and then. You know, we're watching a world change. You go into the airport right now and there's a prayer room. You go into the MCG and there's a prayer room. They're making prayer rooms available. Why do we need a prayer room? We can pray to our God anywhere, anytime, whenever we want. Spirit to spirit. So let's do a quick survey in the Bible on prayer. In the Old Testament, it says that Moses talked to God and interceded for Israel. By prayer, Joshua discerned sin. Solomon prayed for wisdom. God worked miracles through the prayers of Elijah and Elisha. And then we look at the Psalms, and they're just one book full of prayers. In the New Testament, Jesus' example inspires us to pray. Mark says Jesus displayed a regular and intense prayer life. Luke taught that Jesus was guided by the Holy Spirit when he prayed. John reported that Jesus prayed before appointing or anointing the disciples. The disciples asked Jesus how to pray, to teach them how to pray, and that's where we got the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught them how to pray, not what to pray. Jesus said that prayer was not to be offered to impress others. It's not something we do that makes us look good in front of others. Jesus prohibited long-winded attempts that try to manipulate God. I love that thought. He challenged people to trust the Father, not their own expressiveness or fervor. In Acts, the disciples continued and continually prayed. The early church prayed regarding selection of leaders. Paul constantly was in prayer. So we know that prayer is a subject that goes from the start to the end. And we know that it is something that Jesus himself exampled. So how does the Holy Spirit fit into this? Where does the Holy Spirit fit into this? In Romans 8, 26 to 27, it says that this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our infirmities or weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. There's so much in that one verse in regard to prayer, in regard to the Holy Spirit, in regard to the power tool of prayer that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul here is highlighting an infirmity, a weakness, which he says is common to all of us in our own natural condition. Now, remember that table? We have natural tools, a hand beater, a hand saw. We have a hand drill. We can pray in our natural language, and we are praying. There's no doubt about that, and it is effective. But not as effective as it would be if we were using the power tool prayer. And that's what Paul's talking about here. In our natural condition, we have an infirmity, we have a weakness. The infirmity or the weakness that we have is not a bodily weakness. Paul says exactly this, for we know not what we should pray or what we ought to pray. That's our infirmity. Now, I can associate with Paul there. There are times, there are seasons, it's just so often, God, what do I do here? How do I do it here? For me, I'm very fortunate because I grew up in a church that preached speaking in tongues, that encouraged people to speak in tongues. And so right from virtually the time I really asked Jesus to be Lord of my life and heard the teaching on tongues, I've been a tongue speaker. And I know that tongues builds up my faith. I know that tongues is my spirit talking directly to God's spirit. Wherever I walk, whenever I walk, I pray in tongues, whether it be out loud or in my head. When a natural thought comes into my mind about somebody or something, I pray it in the natural because that's how I believe God works for me. If thought comes in, I'm praying in tongues, immediately I'll pray it out loud or in my heart about the circumstance and situation, then I go back into praying in tongues. So we have an infirmity, a weakness. We don't know how to pray. But God, Jesus, said that he was going to give us a power tool to help us do the works that he's called us to do. That's why we can pray consistently. That's why we can pray without ceasing. That's why we can pray God's will, because the Spirit dwells and lives within us and prays for us. Paul says the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for us, his saints, God's saints, according to the will of God. Paul is speaking of the Spirit as a person who lives in us, who makes us a vessel or a channel, a conduit through which he can offer prayer, that he can communicate directly back and forth through to the Father. You know, this is, as I said a minute ago, a direct cable link to God. I love it. I love the thought of it. It doesn't go through our feelings. It doesn't go through our emotions. It doesn't go through our understanding. You know, you can sit there and you can read something with your eyes. That's what you read with, you know. You can read something with your eyes and you can be praying in tongues and still read and comprehend. Try it one day, because it shows you that it's not going through your intellect. It shows you spirit to spirit. It's a brilliant thing. We yield our bodies to the Holy Spirit as a temple, and the Spirit himself conducts a prayer life on our behalf. As we've already read, God expects something of us which we can never attain in our natural strength or in understanding. None of us can pray without ceasing. None of us can always be in prayer seeking God's face. God is not out to frustrate us. He's not out to make us fail. God, as he does always with all things, has provided a way. I.e., Jesus would never have given us the Great Commission if we weren't able to achieve it or do it. And so that's what I know gives me faith and hope that we're going to see people being raised from the dead, sick healed, amazing miracles take place. Because God's word says that we're going to do it. But not only that, he says we're going to do greater works than he did. So God wouldn't put it there if we weren't going to do it. The problem is church has stopped preaching it, stopped teaching it, stopped empowering people and stopped people recognizing what gift they have within them that is available. So we have a choice. We either fall below the divine standard, or we choose to depend upon the powerful supernatural assistance of the Holy Spirit. For me, I know that that whole raft of power tools is there for me. And I'm old enough and wise enough in God now to know that I can't do it in my own strength. It just doesn't work. It just makes you tired. Yet to do it in God's strength, in God's power, using God's tools, it's a breath of fresh air. And you see results, nothing like you would ever see in the natural. What is impossible in the natural is made possible by the indwelling supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. We saw this morning when we talked about some of the weapons that we've been given. Prayer is a weapon that we've been given. Supernatural prayer, praying in tongues, is a supernatural weapon against the enemy. He hates it. That's why there's so much confusion. That's why there's so much division, because he hates it so much that he has brought about division on it. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, quench not the Spirit. I don't think we really realize the unlimited potential of Holy Spirit prayer. When we yield full control to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes over our faculties and he conducts his own worship and own prayer service. Now the Bible calls this tongues a power tool given to help us in our infirmities, a power tool to help us build up our faith. Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your holy faith. Man, if just praying in tongues builds my faith, that's enough in itself. A power tool which gives us the ability to pray God's will every time. A power tool that God has given to unite his people. Now, think about that. Let me explain that to you, because this is an incredibly important thing. A power tool that God has given us to bring unity into his body. Now, that seems like a little bit of an oxymoron, because we've seen so much division throughout his body. But that's because the enemy has got in. That's because people have been deceived, as I talked about this morning. Let me explain to you, if I can, from Old Testament to New Testament, why I say it brings unity. The Lord said in Genesis 11, the Lord said, if one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. So we know the story. It's the Tower of Babel being built. And God's saying, if one people speaking one language can exercise this much unity and this much power to build this tower, then nothing will be impossible for them. So God himself says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they don't understand each other. By confusing their language, the Bible says that they were scattered from one end of the earth to the other. They stopped building the city, and that is why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. Now, you know, wherever you go in the world, you'll find English people with English people. You'll find Vietnamese. You'll find Burmese with Burmese, Chinese with Chinese. They all go to where they understand the language. It's not the food. It's not the color of their skin. It's their language that draws them together, because they understand each other. So we know what God did. God divided them because they were becoming too proud. They were becoming too great in their own might. God knew their unity. So he weakened them by tongues, by confusing their tongue. I believe that today, through the Holy Spirit dwelling within all of us as we become Christians, that God is uniting us. And he's uniting us by giving us the ability to speak one language, speaking in tongues, his language, which not only unites us, but it builds up our faith, but it also communicates to God. If you want to know the power of unity, the power of people working together, read the book of Acts. 13 times you'll find in the book of Acts mighty miracles take place. But before the mighty miracle takes place, the Bible says that they were in one accord. The power in this room, with let's say this 80 people that are here or that thereabouts tonight, if we were united in tongues, we'd be united in power, and there would be an almighty powerful move of God just in our midst. Coming together, being one in language, is a mighty powerful tool, and God knows that. That's why the enemy has brought so much division, so much confusion, so much disunity into the Christian church. Now that is broken down, I believe, right now. Back in the 70s, back in the 60s, it was a divide like you wouldn't believe. If you spoke in tongues, to a degree, the traditional church would say you were going to hell. I don't believe that is the case right now. I believe that there is a greater acceptance, a greater understanding, a greater unity and love across the body of Christ. God has united us and given us the same Spirit. I believe, unfortunately, the Pentecostals started to preach speaking in tongues as a second experience. That's why I say what I say. When you package it all together, it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist Church of Christ, Uniting Church, Church of England, whatever it might be, You receive the Spirit the minute you receive Christ, and every tool is available to you. No division, no breaking down of walls, a uniting together as one body. And so tonight, I'm encouraging all of you to put away your thoughts, put away any of the teaching you might have, and see that the Holy Spirit entered into you the minute you got saved. And immediately at that point, you have a communication tool, a communication power tool, sitting right there, ready to use, just waiting for you to turn on the switch. Yes, being taught about it, I think, gives us clear understanding, as it will with all the other gifts and all the other power tools that the Holy Spirit brings to us, which we will talk about throughout the rest of the year. But I wanted to bring this one up right now. We're not talking about tongues and interpretations as a church for the church, which you would see on a Sunday or in your home groups or wherever. I'm talking about your individual tongue, your prayer life, your communication tool that God has given you to give you a direct link to Him. I'm trying to get across that I believe that we're going to be more powerful in our walk with God, more powerful in the things that we do if we would use this gift, if we would turn it on. By being taught it, by being encouraged to do it, all you have to do is release it into your life. Now, I have prayed for many people to speak in tongues, and in most cases they do. Let me tell you some of the hindrances. If tongues builds up your faith, the opposite to faith is doubt. So when you hear somebody going, it just sounds, that wasn't my tongue, by the way. It just sounds like they're making a noise. And the first thing that will come into your mind is, I'm making it up. I'm just doing it. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want you to speak in tongues. The second thing that I know when we teach people about this and encourage them to pray in tongues is that it doesn't sound much when they start. The way I explain it, I've never yet seen a baby come out of a mum's tum and, hello, Father, it's you. Oh, you're more ugly than I thought you were. No, they don't do that. In fact, they don't do much but cry for a long time. Then all of a sudden, every father knows that the first words they speak is, Dad, Dad. And every mother tries to get them to say, Mum, Mum, but it doesn't work. It's always, da, 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 da. The Bible says, a groaning that cannot be uttered. And so, just as much as a baby starts to make noises and finally those noises become words which are understandable, we will start in tongues often, more often than not, in just a groaning that cannot be uttered. Something that we don't understand, something that doesn't sound intelligent at all. And then finally, as we continue and practice and continue to exercise by faith that incredible gift that God has given us, it becomes something. But then I've heard others say, well, every time I pray in tongues, it sounds exactly the same. And we've had much fun over the years mimicking and mocking people's tongue, because they all sound strange and funny. But then I think that's easily explained as well. See, our tongue is direct communication to God. What does God want us to do? Praise Him. The angels around the throne of God are saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You say that fast and it sounds like tongues anyhow. But that's what they're doing. Why? Because that's what God requires of them, to praise Him. So in most cases, I think our tongue is praising God, because praising God builds up our faith. And then every now and again, our tongues changes. It could become a warfare tongue. It could be a tongue that we know is different. You know you're interceding for somebody. It just changes. And then it goes back to holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say to you, there's no rhyme nor reason, because it's got nothing to do with you. It's the Spirit living within you that is communicating God's will back to him. And then I know for sure that our tongue is a warfare tool. And sometimes it becomes very powerful, very mighty. Chris and I were in Ukraine, must be 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and we were teaching in a Bible college right down near the Black Sea. And at night time we were running teaching meetings and healing meetings. And we had a meeting one night, and we prayed for a lot of people, and a lady came up with a massive goiter, and it was massive. And I didn't know how to pray. I had an interrupter talking for me, and it didn't matter whether she was praying or talking or not. So I just prayed in tongues over each person, saying, God, you know what I need to pray and how I need to pray. And this lady, I prayed for her. She fell down in the power of the Spirit. And the next day she came back, and her goiter had 100% gone, nothing there. And she said, how did you learn Russian? I didn't. It was God using my tongue to speak into her. And in fact, that lady brought back a whole lot of her friends, and they were all blind drunk, every one of them. And they all got prayer, and they all went out sober. They weren't very happy. They'd wasted a lot of money on alcohol, I can tell you. So our tongue is a powerful tool, used in very many different ways, but the most important thing, it is a power tool of communication for us. It builds up our faith. That's the thing that I love. It builds up our faith. And so tonight, I'm just going to ask you to put away any misconceptions you have and start speaking in tongues. Start using that tool to praise your God, to allow him to pray through you those prayers that he wants you to pray. It is a fantastic power tool, and one that we should be using. Let's stand together. Now, I don't want anyone to come out the front. I don't want anyone looking around. But if, well, let me do it differently. First of all, those of you that have spoken in tongues before and have decided not to do it anymore, or have watered it down or stopped doing it or forgotten to do it or neglected to do it, I want you to start again. Okay, so that's number one. I want you to start speaking in tongues again, a powerful tool. All right, not to be neglected. Exercising and using the tools that God has given. Go past the point of blessing. Start using those gifts that God has given you. Speaking in tongues, you have to go back to it. Okay, I'd like to pray for those that have never spoken tongues. And tonight, you know that you want the tap turned on. By faith, by saying, God, I want that. I want to start exercising and utilizing that tool. You're turning on the switch. My prayer really is just to pray, hey, God, help them break free, because I know it's already there for you. So if you'd like that, no one looking around, just put your hand up, put it down quickly. Okay, let's everyone close their eyes. Father, I just pray that you would, Lord God, just encourage us even now in the teaching that we've heard. Father, first of all, that the misconceptions that we might have would be put away. Lord God, even the doctrinal differences we might have would be put away. For what we're saying, Lord God, makes no bearing whether it's a second experience or a first experience. It's still speaking in tongues. It's still exercising, utilizing the gifts that you've given us. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for just that incredible lift of all of the benefits that we receive when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And Father, just as much as we recognize and acknowledge the fruits, we recognize, acknowledge the graces, we recognize and acknowledge the gifts, Lord God, I pray that we would start to exercise this incredible tool, help with our prayer life. Father, that we would grow in faith as we exercise it, that we would grow in understanding as we exercise it, that, Lord, we would use this tool to communicate with you. And for those that raised their hand right now, Lord God, I pray that you would release this gift you would release speaking in tongues into their life right now. If there be any blockages in their mind, any doubts, Lord God, you take away their doubts. Father, if as they start to speak in tongues, it sounds the same, Lord God, that they remember what I said tonight. Father, that it is a groaning that cannot be uttered. Lord, I don't think there's any mystical thing, any magic tool that we've got to do to turn it on. I think it is just by faith that we start to talk in tongues. And so, Lord, I pray that you would release each person right now that raised their hand, that there would be a breakthrough in their lives, and they would know, even now, a fresh touch of your Spirit upon their lives as they exercise this gift. Now, I want everybody in this room who does pray in tongues just to start praying in tongues. And those that want to pray in tongues, I just want you to allow God to use you. Don't speak in language that you know. Don't speak in English. Just start making a noise. I find that the easiest way to go. Just start making a noise and let God do the rest. Release them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue just to overshadow us as we continue in this great subject, the mission of the Holy Spirit, that we would be a people, that we would be a church, that would, Father, just be empowered as we rely on, lean on, and submit ourselves to the use of the Spirit within our lives. Spirit, we love you, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Okay, those of you that put up your hand, can I encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you walk, just start speaking. And if you have any trouble, come and see me, Nick, Andy, one of the leaders, and we'll certainly pray with you again and talk to you again. God bless you. See you next week.